Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Romans 15, verse 13, New Living Translation. If you're all there, say a big amen. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I am fully convinced, my dear brothers and sisters, that you are full of goodness. You know these things so well, you can teach each other all about them. Even so, I have been bold enough to write about some of these points, knowing that all you need is this reminder. For by God's grace, I am a special messenger of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. I bring you the good news so that I might present you as an acceptable offering to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. So I have reason to be enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me in my service to God. Yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, bringing Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I worked among them. They were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. Let me just tell you, that's how God convinces you also today. Miraculous signs and wonders are one of the ways that God convinces you. In this way, I have fully presented, everybody say fully presented, fully presented the good news of Christ from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum. My ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard, rather than where a church has already been started by somebody else. Imagine that. That's a great idea. All the pastors listening. Verse 21. I've been following the plan spoken of in the scriptures where he says, those who have never been told about him will see, and those who have never heard him will understand. In fact, my visit to you has been delayed so long that I've been preaching in these places. But now, as I have finished my work in these regions, and after all these long years of waiting, I am eager to visit you. Verse 24, I'm planning to go to Spain. When I do, I'll stop off in Rome. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Move in power. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Do have notes for you. Fresh off the press. Grinding this thing out all the way to 6:45. God bless my administrative people that are just able to spontaneously respond. And just get it done. I appreciate the work of my media team fixing my clock as well. God bless you. And tonight is a powerful night. I've entitled it, There is Hope. I want you to say that. Say, there's hope. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him, there's hope. Look at your other neighbor and tell him, there's hope. Even for you. Come on, tell him, there's hope. There's hope even for you. Despair is like a trademark in the 21st century. It's everywhere, everywhere. News agency has made billions based upon despair and bad news. I mean, it's just hard to get good news. Really, it is. Despair is something that's just pushed down the throats of everybody, it seems, all over the nations of the world. But that is not the message I'm going to bring to you today. And it is not the message of the good news. In fact, good news means good news. The message of despair is not the message that God brings. He brings a message of hope. Murder, fear, Global warning. Global warning. There's a global warning, all right. Get right with God. Global warming. Does anybody remember 1977? I was 10 years old. I remember the day, 7/7/77. I remember that day. I was at the beach. 6 days after my birthday. In 1977, Time magazine posted on the front page, I think I have it down here, the coming ice age and how to handle it. Now you can go look it up, but I'll paraphrase a little bit. How to handle the coming ice age, 1977, Time magazine. And now, global war. Make up your mind. Butter's no good, absolutely gonna just clog your veins. Instead, they feed you some World War II turkey food called margarine and get you to have heart attacks. I'm just telling you, the enemy of your soul wants you to get discouraged and eat margarine, but God wants you to have butter. Come on, somebody! All right. That might have been some influence from Pastor Karen. We love butter and grass-fed beef. Somebody said, do you love animals? I do. They taste delicious. Amen. Said, well, I'm a vegetarian. That's fine. You go ahead and do that. I'm gonna eat meat and butter and glory to God. What is the answer to despair? What is the answer to fear? What is the answer to the disparaging reports that are everywhere and the global warming and all of that? What is the answer? The answer, emphatically, is hope. The answer is hope. In verse 13, we read it. What a powerful prayer. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy. I've said it many times before, but I just had somebody quiz me on it just recently. Seems like a lot of emotionalism in your church. And I said, well, I wouldn't call it emotionalism. I would call it joy. I would call it there's emotion, but go do a study. I dare you. Go do a study on the emotions of God. God has emotions. He feels deeply. Joy, hope. You'll feel that here. You walk in this place, there's just something like, what is happening in here? There's a lot of joy. I remember years ago, I've told the story. It was just so funny to me, kind of. Had a family come in, and clearly they've never been in the church like ours. They told me that they came from a different sort of church that was very quiet. And when they walked in the back of the building over in Lucille Street, their fear came all over them. The place was electric with joy and expectancy and faith. And they grabbed each other, mom and dad, and they grabbed each other and their little kids, and they leaned against a sound booth. And I happened to be right there. I would greet people when they would come in right at that building. It was one of my favorite things to do in the heat of worship, just to bring people joy. And we were pulling out extra chairs, and it was capacity that day again. And I said, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. He said, what the H-E double hockey stick? What is going on here? I said, I don't know, it's okay. It's just a lot of happy people. He says, I've never seen anything like this. I said, no, it's okay. They're happy. They're joy-filled. They've gotten their lives changed. That's why they got joy. He says, okay. I said, okay. Now we got some extra seats. Come on over here. And I helped them get in their seat, and they sat down. I had somebody else pull me aside over the years and say, hey, we can't come here. I said, okay. So sorry. I said, yeah, we can't come here. It's just way too much joy. And I wanted to say, like, you know, I'll repent for anything. I'm going to eat dirt. I'll eat dirt every day of the week. I don't care. Repent for the sounds too loud, sounds too high, sounds too low. I'll just repent for everything. We're constantly trying to improve, all right? And you can't please everybody. And nor are we into pleasing people, but at the same time, we want to be excellent with grace. So there's things that we need to fix and change, and we will. We'll continue to improve. We'll continue to do better. We'll continue to serve God. We'll continue to give glory to God. Amen. But I'm not going to apologize for joy. But I started to. I'm like, I'm so... Yeah, that's the way this place is. We got a lot of joy. Come on, somebody lift your hands. The joy of the Lord is my
strength.
The joy of the Lord is your strength. And I was talking to somebody else. I said, man, how do you say that, you know, the right hand of God, there's pleasure? Psalmist says that. At the right hand of God, there's pleasure forevermore. I said it this way. The epicenter of pleasure and joy is the throne room. There was this crazy revivalist guy. He was a gypsy before he got saved, played violin. I can't remember his name, but he was brought up to heaven. He tells a story about being brought to heaven. And when he tells the story, I mean, you bear witness to what he's saying is actually true. And he said when he was there, he's looking at the throne, he's overwhelmed, and somebody cries holy, and then everyone cries holy, and the whole place is crying holy. And there was so much joy and so much power and so much holy emotion that the angels, he said, they would just make this noise and flutter themselves all over. He said they would spin around. They were just overwhelmed. They have all these eyes on them. The cherubim have all these eyes because there's so many dimensions of God's power and glory that you'll never see the end of it for eternity. Joy. What a powerful prayer that the God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Joy and peace, write in your notes now. Joy and peace came from faith in Christ, which produces hope. Listen to that again. It's right in the text. Joy and peace come from faith in Jesus, which produces hope. I'm going to say it again. Wrap your heart around it. Joy and peace come from faith in Christ, faith in Jesus. That produces hope. So what are you saying? I'm saying that when you believe in Jesus, you're going to have joy. And you're gonna have peace. And when that happens, you begin to have hope. You begin to have a dream. I have a hope. I have many hopes. I have many dreams. If you lose hope, talk to people that have been in concentration camps. Talk to people who've gone through great suffering. They all say the same thing. If you lose hope, you're dead. But if you keep hope, if you keep hope alive, keep something living for something, you can make it through every trial. If you lose hope, you're in big trouble. I remember talking to a doctor not long ago when I was talking about revival and talking about the power of God and talking about preaching. And we were comparing different styles of preaching. And I was saying, man, I just think that, you know, it's hard if there isn't like a real powerful anointing and the power of God. He said, well, Daniel, listen to me, listen. If people can find hope in what people are preaching, when people preach the truth, if they can find hope, there'll be revival. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's powerful. That's powerful. You don't need to be Mr. Charismatic. You don't need to be, you know, this somebody else. Just be you and be filled with hope. Joy and peace come from faith in Christ. Romans 14, 17 says this, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink. I hate to tell you. True. But of living a life of goodness and peace and joy. J-O-Y. Joy in the Holy Spirit. God's intention is that you would overflow with hope. Let me say it again. God's intention is that you would overflow in hope. The Holy Spirit's work in the believer is to cause you to overflow with hope. I have this quote from Claire Booth Luce. There's no hopeless situations. There are only people who've grown hopeless about them. I want you to say that. There's no hopeless situations. Come on, say it again. Tell your neighbor, there's no hopeless situations. There's only people who've grown hopeless about them. You don't understand. No. You don't understand. You don't understand. Is it impossible? Really? Show me where that is in Scripture. There is no impossible situation. There is always hope unless you lose faith. Then there's no hope for you. There's no pit that you might have fallen in that God is not deeper still. There is always hope for a marriage. There is always hope for your children. There is always hope for your finances. There is always hope for a nation. If a nation would turn to God, there is hope for that nation. If a nation doesn't turn to God, they'll be uprooted, as history shows. So the Holy Spirit's work in the believers to cause us to overflow with hope. So hearing the Word of God, hearing God's Word tonight, listen, what should be happening tonight is your hope meter should start leveling a little bit, coming up, 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 up. Your hope should start rising. You're realizing, man, I'm going to make it. Man, I can do it. Come on, tell the person next to you, you're going to make it. Yeah, God's going to answer all your prayers. Yeah, those visions, those dreams that God gave you, it's going to come to pass. And it came to pass. One of my favorite phrases in Scripture. And it came to pass. Our hope in Jesus. Our hope in Jesus, who then brings hope to every aspect of our lives. In Romans 15, verse 12, listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Now, we started from verse 13, so verse 12. The heir to David's throne will come, and he will rule over the Gentiles, and they will place their hope in him. He's talking about not just the resurrection that brings hope, but he's talking about the second coming that brings hope, and he's talking about the fact that God has got it. God's going to do it. God's going to fulfill everything he said, as he quotes Isaiah. 700 years before Jesus ever came, Isaiah. We have the book of Isaiah and the Dead Sea Scrolls. Powerful. Hope is essential for your life. Hope is essential for the Christian life. If you don't have hope, then I don't know. That's like an aspect of being a Christian that might remove the title Christian. Christians have hope. So if you call yourself a Christian, but you don't have any hope, something's broken. Broken, broken, broken. You can be healed, healed, healed. Hope is essential. If you lose hope, you're in trouble. It helps us keep motivated. It helps us to keep going. When I was freezing to death, I think the church, when I first got here, tried to kill me. Probably not true, but it felt that way. And I froze on the side of the road on the way to Glen Allen. I don't know, between Glen Allen and, between Glen Allen and Delta. Somewhere along that road. I didn't put heat in the church truck that was quite old, actually, at that time. And I'm told that the fuel gelled, and the fuel pump died. And I just remember opening my hood. They didn't tell me about it. I didn't know anything about it. I mean, we didn't have all the YouTube, you know, look up YouTube, how you drive to Delta at 50 below zero. I didn't have any of that. I probably should have known or asked, but, you know, some of you men never look at instructions. He just tried to put together, what are these extra pieces? Well, I don't know. Does it work? Yeah, praise God. I just took off, and I remember calling the go-to guy in the church at that time. Man of God. And he could come and rescue me, like, you know, with his helicopter kind of thing. I mean, he had all the resources to come and pull me out of the side of the road freezing in the truck. Oh, yeah, I opened up the hood after I was able to get the ice off the front, and the entire engine was frozen. The carburetor had ice all around it. I thought, we have a problem. My phone, I got one phone call out before my Nextel battery just went doot, 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 gone. I got one phone call out. It was to, I called the Lord, like, Jesus! And I called this brother, I called him, and I thought he would be like, I'll be right there. Let me get the copter. We'll be right over. I call him, and this great faith-filled man starts cursing. What the boot? Where are you, boot? You should have booted. Deep gone. I thought. Jason Adair went on ahead with my mother. It's kind of a longer story. You'll read it in a book one day. I lost hope. I was freezing. Cotton kills, cotton kills. The only thing that would go through my mind as I'm freezing in this truck, cotton will kill you, cotton will kill you, cotton will kill you. That's all I had is cotton, for God's sake. I don't even know what that means. Does that mean like cotton comes alive at 50 below and it starts eating your innards? I don't know what that means. Cotton will kill you. Cotton will kill you. And I'm like, oh, let's just take a nap. You're going to die. You're going to die. Oh, cotton will kill you. Oh, Lord. Oh. I mean, I was losing my mind. And then the word of the Lord came to me. I was reminded. I brought you here for a revival. In the same way that there's oil from the North Slope that goes in through a pipeline down to vessels in Valdez and goes all over the world to be refined and becomes gasoline and oil products, so there'll be the golden oil of Zechariah that will flow. And I've called you to be a part of it. Go to Alaska. And that's what brought us to Alaska. And you're going to have a great revival and you're going to be a part of it. And I thought to myself, I haven't had revival. I'm wearing cotton. I'm close to dying and everybody hates me in the church. This is not it. So I started praying and prophesying. I started declaring the word of hope. God, you're going to do it. You're going to bring revival. I mean, I lost my mind. I got the mind of Christ. So you need to lose your mind. You get all hopeless. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? It's like prayer in reverse. Worry. It's like praying to the devil. What are we going to do? Oh, what are we going to do? Well, if you're in sin, repent. Other than that, just keep your hope up and let God bring you through. And the rest of that story is I'm standing here, so obviously he brought me through. When you have hope, you'll have direction. When you have hope, it stirs you. You can make it. We can do it. We're going to do it. Over and over, we had to tap into that to get to this building to where it is, and you still see it being expressed. How is it being expressed? I just told you it's going to be paid off. I said, that's my hope. I have a hope. It's going to be paid off. Once it's paid off, I don't have to have that hope anymore because it'll be resolved. You don't have to have faith for what you can see. When you can see it, you don't have faith for it. Faith is the confident assurance of what you cannot see. Hope, faith is what you do on your way to your hope. I got this from Dr. Morocco, but if I have a hope to walk to the other side of the stage, that's my hope. Faith is the action you take on your way to your hope. Faith is the action you take. You keep moving. In this case, I keep giving. I keep believing. I keep praying. I keep moving. And you will see the mortgage burned on this building. You will see it come to pass. And then we'll all be like, wow, what a miracle. How'd that happen? Hope and faith to get there. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and say, I got hope. Well, what is it? What is your hope? I don't know. Well, you better find it. What's your dream? I mean, we're kind of getting to the end of the message with that, but just hang on. I mean, what is your hope? Hope is to find it here in this scripture. It keeps us going. It gives us direction. You keep moving. Hope is defined as the apostle. Hope to find the apostle Paul's life. And it really should define yours. It should define mine. It should define ours. That when somebody looks at you, be like, man, they just keep going. They have hope. They have faith. Faith is action on God's word. Faith is confident assurance of which you cannot see and moving in that direction. So what is the hope that you have for your family, that all of your children would be saved? What's the hope you have for your marriage, that it would be healed? What's the hope that you have for your finances, that your business would prosper, or that you would, what's your hope that you have for America, that America would turn from debauchery and idolatry and come to Christ? What else is your hope for America? That Jesus would pour out, God would pour out his spirit one more time as Jesus looks to the Father, that prophetic vision. Oh, one more time, God. One more time, Father. One more time. I have a hope for this nation. We need God in this country. He had hope for the believers in Rome. Now look at this. I've missed this over and over and over up until today. Look what he does. Verse 14. Now here's really what I think he would say if he was not spirit-filled in writing God's word. He'd say, you bunch of idiots, how many times have I told you? That's not what he does. He could just lean into him and say, you waste of skin. You're a stain. What have you done? That's not what he does. Look what he does. He expresses his hope. The idea is actually, they aren't actually doing all of these things, but his hope is that they will. And he speaks faith. Look at this. I'm fully convinced, my dear brothers and sisters, that you're full of goodness. He's prophesying. You know the things so well that you can teach others all about them. That's really not what's happening. And he's telling them that is God's intention. That is what's in you. I'm convinced of it. It's going to come out. It's going to come out. He could have really been correcting them for something, but he speaks life. He speaks hope. Some of you need to learn to do that with your wife, with your husband, with your kids. You might have grown up in a family where you were abused. And I don't mean physical abuse. Certainly it could include that. But if you know, when you have a lot of kids, if you just have one kid, it doesn't really matter. You can get so overwhelmed by all the poopy diapers. I mean, it takes a special grace to change shorts. I remember when our first child came home and that meconium thing, brother, I was throwing up on the other side of the room. And we needed Pastor Karen to come rescue us because there was no way. No, I just didn't have it within me. I'm sure I needed more faith. I needed healing, whatever you say we want to. I just went to, deal with that thing. It was like, if we had videos, it would have gone viral everywhere. Some of you are so overwhelmed at the difficulty of raising your kids that you don't say kind things to them. And you say, well, you say things that were maybe said like in your house, that children should be seen and not heard. Hey, can't you be like your daughter? Can't you be like your sister? Can't you be like your brother? And you don't speak hope over them. Speak hope. Speak life. You're a world changer. You can make it. You're going to do it. You're so smart. I'm so proud of you. Even though they might be driving you nuts at times, put your flesh aside, speak life, speak hope, speak life, speak hope, speak joy, speak peace. You can do it, you can make it. What a man. You're, my gosh, you just really wrecked that thing amazingly. Now that's amazing. That's like a creative work right there. Fantastic. Wow, it'll be all right. We're gonna fix it. Amen. I don't know if you ever noticed a kid, we picked up on this about halfway through our, less than halfway. Kid falls and slams his knee on the ground. I learned this from a more seasoned parent. They fall on the ground, and then I'd be like, oh, wow. Did the ground, I think you put a dent. Did you put a dent? Man, I think we made a dent in the floor right there. They're like, I did. And then they start to learn to deal with pain. If you're constantly coddling them, constantly doing that, or speaking death over them, why do you think your kid would have a problem then? They're not affirmed. They're not... Come on, you are God to them. Speak life, speak hope. Can you say amen? So I didn't have that. Well, you can get healed today. You can hear this message and understand that you're not a mistake. You're not a stain. You might have made mistakes, but God has a plan for you. God has a hope for you. Jeremiah talks about that. 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Come on, somebody say, I got hope. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, you got hope. I'm a hope dealer. I didn't say a dope dealer. I said a hope dealer. Come on, say it out loud. Say, there's hope. In every situation, there's hope. All right. Call forth dreams. Call forth goals and fulfillment. And again, perhaps you were here and you were raised in a home and your parents didn't speak to you like that. They spoke despair. They spoke unbelief. They spoke words, curses over you. You can be healed. I had a lot of labels on me growing up, a whole lot. As I came into the house of God in my 20s, those labels began to be pulled off. I began to believe not what other people said, I began to believe what God's word said. And I wrote them out before I met Karen. Then became my wife. I wrote them out and I put it on my mirror. It started in my mirror in my house. And I would speak those scriptures. I heard that John G. Lake did this, so I decided to try it. He would look himself in the mirror and put on a suit and say something to the effect, there's a God man in that suit. He'd look himself in the face, right in the mirror, and say, everywhere this man goes, God goes. And he would start his day that way. So I started saying, you're a man of God. I'd be like, no, you're not. Yes, you are. No, you're not. Yes, you are. I mean, it was a battle. That I would stare myself in my baby blues and say, you're a man of God. You're going to change the world. God's with you. You can do it. And I started saying, amen, yes. Listen, smart Wise, healthy people talk to themselves. Unhealthy people talk to themselves too. They just say all the wrong things. You're so dumb, you shouldn't do that. You ain't gonna have to. You should just go back and drink it. Ain't nothing gonna happen to you. Ain't nothing gonna happen to your papa. Ain't nothing happen to your mamma. Ain't nothing gonna happen to you. Just wanna get you. You go to back there to eat some worms, cause you ain't gonna happen to you. Shut up. Say it. Shut up. Some of you need to tell yourself to shut it. All right. My God, I'm glad I came to church today. Oh, but listen to that. Listen, here's a New Testament illustration. Jesus speaks to Peter. Sorry. Spoiler alert. He speaks to Simon and changes his name. And when he changed his name, he was not the Rock. Simon, Simon. He was referred to that before the devil sifted him. But he says, Simon, your name will now be Peter. He was not a rock. He had arrogance. He had issues. But he was bringing him hope. You're going to be a rock. And I'm going to use you. You're going to be the chief apostle. I mean, that's reading into that. That's what you need to say to your kids. You're going to be the rock. You're going to be amazing. You are amazing. God in you is a majority. All right. Hope is seeing God at work. Look at verse 17. And not glorifying self on the screen now. So I have reason to be enthusiastic. There's another example of, enthusiasm. What does that look like? That is not enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is like when the guy got his legs back at the gate called Beautiful and he begins leaping and jumping and praising God, which, by the way, was not like this. It's leaping. Woo! Yes! Yes! That's leaping and jumping and praising God. Okay, denominationalism would be like, enthusiasm. Enthusiastic. Are you enthusiastic about Jesus? My gosh, this is so good. So I have reason to be enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me and my service to God. Are you excited? Are you enthusiastic about what Jesus has done through you? Yet, I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, bringing the Gentiles of God by my message and by the way I worked among them. They were convinced by the power of miraculous signs. It's no different today. Hope is seeing God at work. It's not about you, it's about somebody else. Someone said, well, God does a miracle, you point to him. There are some in the world that be like, yes, I came and then I was there. And I waved my hand over the place and everything was clear. Do you need healing right now? Oh, sit down. It's about the Lord. Come on, it's about Jesus. Miraculous signs and wonders by the power of God's Spirit in this way. In what way? In the way of declaring, proclaiming enthusiastically the good news of Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected. You don't have to be sick anymore. You don't have to be broke anymore. You don't have to be diseased anymore. You don't have to be depressed anymore. You don't have to be in despair anymore. You can have hope in this way. The gospel spread so through the region that he had no place else to minister. We've already been there. It's already happened. I'm gonna go through Spain and I'm gonna end up in Rome. He had to move on. Can you imagine that? One guy. I have fully preached the good news. It's a whole nother message, but I can't help myself. That means you can partially preach. It's not an earthquake. Trying to wake you up a little bit. You can partially preach the good news. It's not just Jesus Christ crucified, believe in him, go to heaven. That is a partial gospel. Is it true? Yes. However, it doesn't include the full gospel. Everybody have full gospel businessmen's meeting? Do you remember that? How many of you lift your hand if you remember the full gospel businessmen's meeting? You're all over 50, maybe 60. I've heard about it. I wish I could have gone. But Wally tells me stories about people's legs growing back and all kinds of craziness. Full gospel, not half gospel. There is a half gospel. I better move on before I get in further kimchi. Hope is a goal to see the gospel. Hope is a goal to see the gospel impact our world. Romans 11, 25. I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud about yourselves. Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles comes into Christ, and so all Israel will be saved. So that destroys the dual covenant, along with many other scriptures. And he's talking about Israel and how there's a judicial blindness. There's a moment, and he doesn't say all of Israel. He says some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of the Gentiles, the fullness of the Gentiles, another version says, the full number of the Gentiles. What does that mean? It means in the time clock of heaven, there is a point when there'll be a certain number of Gentiles that come in, and at that time, Israel's going to be made jealous, Israel's going to turn, and there's going to be a great revival through the people of Israel. Can you say amen? He goes on to say, as the scriptures say, the one who rescues will come from Jerusalem, and he will turn Israel away from ungodliness, and this is my covenant with them, and I will take away their sins. His hope was for Israel. It's not just for Gentiles. It's for Israel. His hope is that the people would come to the knowledge of Christ. That is our hope. Our hope, my hope, is 10% of the population currently. It might grow, but I'm believing for 10% of the population. I don't know where the other 90,000 people will go, but they're going to go somewhere. Maybe we'll build more churches and do more. I don't know. I just know in this moment of time, I have a burning desire to see our nation come back to God. I have a burning desire to see Alaska endued with the power, the golden oil of Zechariah. I have a burning hope, a burning desire, a passion to see a harvest come in. And I do believe that God has called you, called me, called us at this time to see it take place. Can you say amen? Amen. And that is the hope that he had. He had a hope for the harvest. He had a hope for the gospel to impact the world. Paul's hope is looking forward to seeing the time of fullness, right in your notes, when both Israel and the Gentiles will be saved, and for the Lord's return. My God, his hope is to spread the gospel, the good news of Christ, where it was now known, thus going to Spain. He had spread the word, and now he's going to go to Spain and come by Rome on the way. It just reminds us of, it reminds me of us. It reminds me of Dr. Morocco. It reminds me of King's Cathedral and Chapels. Driven. Driven. All across King's Cathedral and Chapels, there's egg hunts and outreaches and door-to-door events. He said, how come we're not doing that? Because we're doing this series 4 weeks, and I believe that you're going to invite people. And I believe that on Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, I believe we will have more people in this church than there has ever been in the history of this church. And I'm going to say the same thing next year, and the year after that, and the year after that. We have 100 life groups. Do you know what a miracle that is? There's 100 small groups that meet. Some of them aren't so small. They're multiplying. Leaders are rising. There's multiplication that's taking place. We have 100 life groups and 62 teams. What do you mean by that? Life groups are a small groups, another way to say it. We used to call them cell groups, but we got away from that because it was like during the terrorism and, you know, 2001, and we're like, we don't want to call them cell groups because people mistake that. I think we should call them cell groups again. Need to get some grit. Yeah, I got a cell group in my house. Want to come? Yes, we are. We're also a militia, but unannounced. Yes. Welcome to Alaska. I think Texas probably the same way. 100 life groups is a miracle. I had a dream and I've shared it, but I'm going to share it again. I saw thousands and thousands of people. I mean, like multitudes. And I went with like these generals. They were leaders, some of which I recognized. Other ones were brand new. And we went with these leaders into this room. In fact, I could show you the room. It's in the church. It's on the second floor, last room. When I opened the door, it was like NORAD. It was like a situation room, maps all over. It was like a military base, a command post, maps and pins all over and photographs and leaders planning and things happening. And I saw all of these life groups and services and the Lord spoke to me clear and said, this is how you'll reach them. And I was riveted in my dream and I woke up and the Lord was in my room. It's the same pattern that's happened through all the dreams that have saved this church and have brought us into the next place. It's the same pattern, the way that God speaks to me. It's unusual. Now that I'm in my 50s, I have visions and dreams. I'm middle-aged. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Amen. I have both. And it seems like I get them when I have to have them and need them. So this is an important piece. It gave me hope. The dream of this is how you'll reach them gave me hope. I shared it with the leaders on Sunday. I share it with you now. You'll hear me say it again. I told Pastor Tammy and the team, build the room. Make the room. We're doing the room. What does it look like? I don't know. We're figuring it out. I woke up. The Lord's in my room, my bedroom. Karen is purring away. Like a dove. The Lord is on me in power, and he says, this is how you'll reach them. And I'm like, yes, God, I get it. We will mobilize an army of people. We'll mobilize an army of leaders. How do you reach a region? It's not one guy. It's a company of people. David was brought to his kingship because of a company of committed men. Oh, they were brought out of debt. They were brought up. I mean, they were broken, shattered people that then could throw spears with the right and the left. They had legs like gazelles. I'm not sure what that looks like, but I think they could run pretty fast. I think that's what that means. Faces like lions, says in Chronicles, I believe it is. God is raising up an army of people. He's raising up a hope army. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Hallelujah. Raise up that army, God. Raise up the army, Lord. Filled with hope, filled with power, filled with destiny and purpose. Raise up an army of leaders, of hope dealers, to wipe out all the other dealers. Despair, go. Hope, flow right now. Discouragement, the spirit of heaviness, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Spirit of heaviness, you gotta go. You must leave. You can no longer stay. This is a house of hope. This is a place of dreams. This is a place of healing divine. This is a place where the kingdom of God is at hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. I got joy. I got peace. Yes, I do. Come on, just lift your voice for a moment. I'm going to get into the application. I got like 10 minutes, so come on, just enter in for a second. I got joy. I got peace. I got hope. Come on, Minister Toby, sing something, man. Sing something, Holy Ghost. Go ahead. Easy.
This joy in this place, oh Woo! God. We have hope in you. We have hope in you, Jesus. There's hope. There's hope.
Hey, hey,
so
hey.
Much hope.
Woo!
We have hope in you, oh God.
All right. Stay in that right there. Application, write in your notes. Otherwise, I have people that are very detailed that will call me and be like, what is the last 3 points, Pastor? Well, number one, is God speaking to us really clearly. Number one, what's your personal hope? What are you personally hoping? I'm sitting on my couch, finishing my message. I said to Pastor Karen, we're going to build another house. Right out there, we're going to build another house. This one's going to be paid for. We're going to redo our bathrooms. I just started saying stuff. Why is that? Because she knows the church, 10,000 people, 10%. Yeah, but I just said her personally. I feel like I need to finish my house. I need to do some things for Pastor Karen and make her just feel blessed that way. Amen. I want to build a house for my kids. Hello. That's a good hope. I had somebody call me and say, hey, there's a radio station for sale at such and such and so. Do you want to buy it? I said, well, I don't know why I would do that. And he said, how about generating wealth for the next generation? How about that idea? I thought, good idea. It was a number of years ago. You could have a hope that your kids would prosper. Come on. Listen, my hope years ago was be like, let's get off of food stamps. That's a good hope. I got a job and I started working. I started looking myself in the eye. I said, you're going to do something. No, you're not. Yes, you are. No, you're not. Yes, you are. I started speaking hope. I got changed. And now I'm a hope dealer. What's your personal hope? I want to know what it is. Pastor Alex, I'm telling you, I've told you again, write it down, make it plain. It's going to happen. Be sensitive and careful at the measure of how things happen. There's going to come a download of vision for you, like for the next 10 years, should the Lord tarry. You write it out, make it plain. Everything you put your heart to, everything you put your hand to as you pray, it will happen. I've told you that word before. I see it again. I see it on you again. You say, whoa, what's so special about him? Nothing. He just believes. He's got faith. Do you? What's your dream? What's your hope? What's God going to do, Pastor Tim? Minister Heidi, what's God going to do? What's God going to do, Minister Hergelotz? It's plural. What's God going to do? What is your personal hope, Brother Tim? What's your personal hope? What are you believing God for? Harold, come on. What are you believing God for? What is your hope? I don't know. I don't believe in hope. I don't believe in goals. If you don't believe in goals, you don't believe in hope. You have to have goals. Set them. What are they? Hope's very, very important. Well, you guys look nice tonight. You're all standing behind me. Okay, we're almost done. What's the hope for our church? We'll make a new goal regarding life groups. We're going to celebrate the 100 for a minute. We'll let you know what the new goal is as soon as we get it. We don't have that. We're going to just celebrate for a minute about the 100. We're going to go through Easter. I'm going to start a new series. When I start the new series on Breakout, we're going to celebrate 100 life groups. We'll have a big old party and we'll make a new goal and we'll hit that one and then we'll hit the next one and we'll hit the next one. It's just what God does. Let the God of hope fill you with hope.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.